I flick my gaze to the tattoo on his chest. The hyena on top of bones with a phrase scrawled underneath. I should have known from that alone. I was so enamored with the words, I didn't take in the rest. Coming here was supposed to be vengeance against those who took him from me. I expect to see surprise filter through his eyes, but there isn't any to be found. Just warmth and understanding. It makes holding onto my anger incredibly difficult, and a bit chips away, falling to the ground and smashing into pieces. My cousin brought me in to marry your brother, but you know that already, of course. His eyes harden, his grip tightening from where it rests on my waist. He cannot have you. He never will, I respond, hesitating before I continue. I saw you when I followed Shayna and Paul last night to the Shadowed Lands. He nods, again with no surprise lighting across his face. I know. Tears well in my eyes, even though I thought they had long since dried. I saw you, Tristan. I know, he repeats, his gaze never leaving mine. You have my cousin caged. His mouth parts then, blowing out a deep breath, his fingers pausing from where they flick against my skin. Not anymore, little doe. My heart stutters, but it's slight. You killed him? Would it help if I said he deserved it? Maybe I should be enraged, but I'm not. I barely feel anything at all. Truthfully, I was never close with Xander, only having met him once or twice when I was a child. The relationship between us was built on loyalty to family, but as I imagine Tristan ending his life, I can't find it in me to care. Turns out, some things bind thicker than blood. What did he do? I ask. Killed my father. He says it with no hesitation, no inflection in his tone. It's just stated as fact. The words tremble against the wall that still sits between us, keeping me from giving in to whatever this is, no matter how badly I may want to. And you killed mine. His brows draw down, eyes flashing. My hand cups his face. So, you see, Tristan, I can't love you. Because loving you means forgetting him. Little doe. Nicknames and sweet words won't change the truth, okay? My bottom lip quivers, my sutured up heart tearing at the seams. I slide from under his grasp and push up on his bed until I'm sitting, slapping my hands down on the mattress. What else do you want from me? What else can I give? You have taken everything from me, and yet you want my heart too? He pounces, his body looming over me, his aura pressing in and his face dark and drawn. Yes, he says. Yes, I want it all. I want everything. I demand it. Well, too bad, I spit, shoving at his chest. He grips my wrists before I can move them away and pulls me into him. I kick out, my feet hitting the bone of his shin until he sucks in a hiss, and I flail, trying to break free from his grasp. Chuckling, he tugs me close, rolling us until I'm pinned beneath him, his body weight keeping me flush to the bed. His legs tangle around mine, and his hands push into my arms as he presses them above my head. It's a precarious position, and one that has heat spreading through my core and pulsing in my center, whether I want it to or not. You are mine, Sarah. He punctuates his words with a sharp thrust of his hips. And if I have to sink my cock inside of you every morning and spank your ass until it's bruised every night just so you feel me with every step, that's what I'll do. I scoff. Please, you don't own me. He grins. Now who's the liar, ma petite menteuse? He thrusts himself against me again, and my traitorous legs fall open, giving him more room. Leaning down, he sucks my bottom lip into his mouth, kissing me with teeth and tongue and spit. It's sloppy, messy. Everything that I crave, but nothing I can have. I've killed many men, he whispers against me, and I remember the face of every single one, soaking their image into my brain as they pray to me for absolution. You have a complex, I sneer. Sarah, I didn't kill your father. I stop fighting against his hold, growing slack in his arms, confusion racing through me as my brows draw down. No, you did. My uncle told me it was you. He wants to take the crown, he cuts in. I'd love to deny it. And for the next few moments, that's what I do. I search every single crevice of my memory, trying to drag up something that proves his innocence, that proves he would never. He was so convincing in his plight for me to kill the rebel king. And if even that wasn't genuine, then I wonder if I really have known him at all. My uncle has been like a second father to me, but he's also been the one in my ear at every turn, fanning the flames of my fire and directing them on where to go. Was everything manipulation for his end goal? You were their scapegoat, little doe. The one who would take the fall for the murders of the monarch and blaze the path for them to steal the crown. My chest cramps. What? I shake my head, disbelief pouring like icy rain through my body. His fingers press against my lips, brushing over them in a soft caress. You know I don't wish to hurt you.
No, they wouldn't, I say again. He wouldn't. I'm his family.
Even as I say the words, the truth sinks into my bones, making them ache. And I know. I am such a foolish woman. Sympathy coasts through his eyes.
I'll be your family now, little doe.
My chest feels heavy, and my soul feels worn. But there's also a sense of relief that lifts a burden from my shoulders. The chains tying me to the Beatro name breaking away and smashing as they fall to the ground.
Swear it, I plead. Swear to me on your father's grave that you speak the truth.
He cups my cheek.
I swear it on my father's grave, Sarah. I will only ever tell you the truth.
My gaze moves back to his, my heart swelling as I stare into his perfect face.
Do you mean it when you said you loved me? I ask.
He sighs, moving my arm from above my head and resting it over his racing heart.
I've only ever wanted one thing in my entire life. The throne. I've been plotting and planning for so long, I can't remember what life was like before. And I'm so close, Sarah. So close to victory.
My stomach tightens.
But you? He licks his lips. You could burn down the entire kingdom until it's nothing but charred rubble, and I would crawl over the embers with glee, so long as I could worship at your feet.
My insides quake from the magnitude of his words.
If that's love, then yes, I love you.
He lifts a shoulder.
I can't feel anything but loving you.
I bite back the emotion that's stampeding through my chest, lifting my hand to push the stray hair off his forehead. My breathing stutters, and I know that with my next words, everything will change.
I love you too.
His eyes darken, and his cock pulses against my center. And it would be such a shame not to see you wear the crown.
Chapter 47. Tristan.
What are you drawing?
Simon's voice cuts through my concentration, and on instinct I jerk away, trying to hide the work in progress from his view. He grins at me, his gap-toothed smile making something loosen in my chest, and I lean back against the bark of the weeping willow, watching as he plops down next to me, laying his toy sword at his side, and peering over my arm again, trying to get a good view.
Is that lady?
He asks, when I don't respond fast enough. I hesitate for many reasons, the foremost being that Simon is 10 years old. He has loose lips without meaning to, and I'm unsure what will happen if he runs and tells his mother that the prince was drawing pictures of the king's fiancée. I have no clue whether she's still warming Michael's bed, but there are many people in this kingdom who will take information and use it to give themselves an advantage, no matter how trustworthy they seem. And I don't trust Simon's mother as far as I can throw her. Anyone who allows their child to be beaten and bullied, or doesn't mind if they run through tunnels all day long, doesn't deserve to have a child. My chest pulls with anger, memories from years ago resurfacing when I think of similarities to how he's treated with what I went through back then. It is, I reply, hoping I haven't made a mistake. Because, as much as I've claimed Sarah, as much as I know that she's mine, we still need to hide away in secret until my carefully laid plans come to fruition. Michael has sent troops to the southern border, just as I suggested. The Privy Council is up in arms, but at the end of the day, they aren't king. He is. For now. My stomach cramps in excitement and anticipation, feeling like I can almost breathe for the first time in years. I was willing to give it all up, to let it all go, run away with Sarah, and never look back. But then she said those words, those perfect, magical, beautiful words, how she wanted me to wear the crown. My soul exploded as I slid my cock deep inside her and fucked her silly while she called me her king. After we were sated, she placed her head on my chest and asked about the rebels, and I told her of my goals. We planned and plotted until the early morning hours, my heart straining against its cage with every whispered word, not realizing how much I ached to have her this way, as my equal, as my queen.
She's pretty when you draw her, but she's prettier in person, Simon notes.
She is, I confirm again. He's quiet for a few moments, and then he glances out at the gates as they open up, a set of 3 automobiles driving through into the front courtyard and rolling to a stop, my heart pulling tight in my chest, knowing that Sarah is in one of them, most likely on the arm of my brother, so close, yet so far away. My jaw clenches at the thought of them.
Do you think that one day maybe I'll be able to have a lady? Simon asks.
I break my stare away from the cars, looking to him instead, my brows rising. You can have anything you dare to dream of, little lion. He nods before his eyes shutter.
Well, then, do you think maybe one day I can have a dad?
My stomach rolls, and I lean my head back against the trunk of the tree, tapping my fingers on my knee as I stare at him, having no clue what to say. Having a father is overrated. Trust me, I speak from experience. He chews on his lip, his enormous amber eyes wide and trusting.
Do you think maybe you could do it?
My heart squeezes.
No one would have to know, he rushes out, his tone hopeful. It'd just be pretend anyway, and it could be fun. Like now, only you tell me you love me and teach me how to be a man.
I don't think your mother would approve. I chuckle through the ache that's digging its way through my chest as I reach out to ruffle the top of his head. He scoffs, his eyes going to the ground, disappointment drooping his shoulders.
Mama wouldn't even notice.
I tell you what, I sigh, closing the sketchbook and placing it to my side before turning to face him. I can't be your father. but I'll always be your friend.
Yeah, okay,
he mumbles, his toe kicking the blades of grass. There's a secret place my father used to take me at the cliff's edge at the back of the castle. One day soon I'll take you there, and I'll teach you everything I know. His eyes light up, that gappy-toothed grin coming back full force.
Promise?
Laughter from across the courtyard draws my attention away before I respond, and even though I know what I'll witness, even though I expected it, white fiery rage surges through my body regardless. Michael and Sarah pose for a cameraman, his arm wrapped around her waist and his fingers gripping her tight to his side. My teeth grind until they threaten to break in half, and I have to restrain myself from standing up and going over to rip his fingers off of her. But I breathe deep, reaching in my pocket and pulling out a joint instead, allowing the hash to buzz through my veins and do its best attempt at keeping the jealousy at bay. It doesn't work, the feeling slamming into my chest and spreading like a poison until everything I see is tinged in green. She twists her head, glancing around the courtyard as if she can sense that I'm near, and then she locks her gaze on me. I hold her stare, my dick straining and my insides seething with the need to stake my claim. I want to grab her from his hold and bend her over the hood of my brother's favorite automobile, flipping up her skirts and impaling her deep on my cock until she screams out my name and gives everyone else a show. Maybe then he'd know better than to put his mangy hands on her. I've come on her and in her and told her she was mine, yet he's the one who gets to parade her around to the world. And when he leans in, his arm tightening around her waist and bending her backward to kiss her on the lips, I lose it, shooting to a stand so fast that Simon jolts from the movement, my vision blurring to everything except the murderous rage that's pouring through my insides.
Chapter 48, Sarah B. I've been waiting for him. I knew it was only a matter of time after Michael bent me backward and pressed his thin lips to mine. But what I didn't expect was for him to not show up for hours, until the dead of the night, and then storm into my quarters without even knocking. Tristan! My hand shoots to my chest, the other tightening around my water cup as he rushes across the room with fire in his eyes. What are you? He walks into me, the glass in my hand dropping to the ground and shattering as he shoves me against the wall, his lips claiming mine in a brutal kiss. I moan, my arms flying up to wrap around his shoulders as he consumes me, his body pressing against mine as he licks inside my mouth, his hands roaming over my sides like he can't bear the thought of not touching me. You let him put his hands on you, he rasps, his voice tortured and low. What would you have had me do? I whisper back as he sucks and bites down the length of my neck. I tilt my head to give him better access, my core pulsing with need. His possessiveness spreading arousal through my insides, loving the way it feels to be wanted so desperately by someone with so much power. It makes me crazy, Sarah. His grip turns bruising, and then he's ripping my red nightgown from my body until I'm naked and bared before him, goosebumps spreading along my skin. I can't stand it. My hand runs down the front of his chest, my heart pounding with sudden desperation to prove to him that no one else has me, that I only belong to him. His nostrils flare as he glares at me, the rings of his fingers glinting as I drop to my knees, reaching out to undo his slacks, my mouth watering at the thought of having his thickness in my hand and on my tongue. I'm yours, Tristan. I rub my palm up the length of his growing erection, excitement skipping through my chest when it hardens beneath my touch. He fists my hair, the way I know he loves to do, his other hand reaching under my jaw and tipping up my chin until I'm staring him in the eyes. Take it out, he growls. My center throbs, and I slip my hand beneath the waistline of his slacks, underneath his underwear, until I grip his shaft, feeling it hot and hard as a rock in my palm. I run my fingers along him, and he sucks in a deep breath, gripping the strands tight as I pull him from his pants. My stomach tenses as it bobs in front of me, and I lean forward, opening my mouth to devour him whole. His grasp tightens on my hair, and he pulls me back, his hand coming down to grip his own cock, stroking it from the root to the tip.
"You love being on your knees for me, don't you?"
he asks, moving in sure motions up and down the length of himself. I nod, licking my lips as I watch his balls tense and release while he manipulates his flesh. He brings the head of it down and slaps it against the top of my breasts, leaving behind a string of arousal from the tip of his cock onto the top of my chest. The act itself is so dirty that it makes my cunt drip down my legs, desperate to have him fill it. He rubs the tip in the small puddle he left behind before dragging it up to my neck, repositioning it so it rests on my lips. I can't help but peek my tongue out and lick up his essence, moaning when the salty flavor hits my taste buds.
"Open your mouth."
His fingers flex in my hair, drawing my head back more. I obey. Not because I'm weak, and not because I have no choice, but because surrendering to him makes me happy. Powerful. It's intoxicating, owning the passion of a man like Tristan. And so I'll worship him like a god because I know he does the same with me. I'm his equal. And right now, I'm his whore. He slides his cock inside of the open hole of my warm, waiting mouth, hissing as I leave it wide so he can see every inch as it slides inside. My insides flutter and my core tenses, wanting to watch from my knees as he comes apart down my throat. I'm ravenous for it. I don't think I'll survive if I can't have it. His hips thrust forward, the tattoos on his forearms coming alive while his muscles tense. The vein on the underside of his shaft throbs as he slides it along my tongue, and I have to stop myself from closing my lips around him, from sucking him as deep as I can take. Instead, I wait for him to give me direction, knowing he'll take what he needs. His fingers tighten their grip, creating a delicious sting that strikes through my middle and pulses between my legs.
Suck.
It's one word, but the second he says what to do, I'm there, running my tongue around his silky shaft, feeling him throb as I hollow out my cheeks, wanting to milk his dick until cum bursts in my mouth. He groans, his other hand flying up to meet his first on the back of my head, and he thrusts in and out. His eyes are half-lidded, but they never leave mine. And I swear I'm close to coming apart without even being touched, just from watching him fuck my mouth. I've done this act before, but it's never felt like this.
"Look at you,"
he whispers, his fingers caressing down my face until they grip the base of my chin.
"So pretty on your knees while I choke you with my cock."
He surges forward as he says the word and hits the back of my throat. I do choke, only a little, but the discomfort ratchets my arousal higher, making my cunt squeeze against air, wishing it was wrapping around the length of him and feeling him paint my insides.
"You love it, don't you, filthy girl? I bet if I put my fingers in your pussy, it would drench my hand with how sopping and eager it is to take me."
He thrusts again, and this time I suck harder, swirling my tongue around the throbbing vein that runs on the underside of his sensitive length. Groaning, he pulls his hips out until his heavy erection bobs in the air, tensing and growing right in front of me. He closes his eyes, breathing deep. And then he grips himself with his hand and smacks me with it. It's nothing more than a light tap,
but the act itself sends shockwaves of tension rippling through my middle, and I lose control of my limbs, my fingers sliding down into my begging cunt, finding it sopping and wet, just the way he said it would be. His eyes flare as he watches, his fingers stroking up and down his spit-soaked shaft, and he groans as I finger myself, my insides coiling tight until I'm on the edge of an explosion.
That's it, my little liar. Fuck yourself on your fingers and imagine it's my cock.
He bends down, spread your thighs and show me how bad you want it. I'm not sure if it's his words, the sound of his voice, or the fact it's just him telling me to do something. But when I do as he says, my body seizes up tight, pleasure skittering through my insides as my walls contract so intensely that it hurts. My vision blacks out and I fall forward on my knees, bliss exploding inside of me and coating my every nerve. He catches me by the face, my chin held in his grip as he continues to jerk himself off. I'm malleable beneath him, a willing servant begging for every drop. His face scrunches up, and I can see the moment his balls pump, the vein in his cock pulsing as the cum pushes up through his shaft and explodes from his tip, showering me with his orgasm. I moan, the hot liquid pouring onto my skin, and when he drops to his knees, I get on all fours and crawl toward him, remembering the fire in his eyes when I did it before, diving down and swallowing him whole, small spurts of his cum spraying down my throat. He groans, his hands gripping my hair as he spasms against my tongue, and I continue to lick him clean until he's spent, softening in my mouth. Finally, I slip him out of me, sitting back as I stare at him, warm and gooey love filling up my chest. He leans forward, tangling our mouths together so our breaths become one, and I lose sight of where he ends and I begin.
Don't shower before you go to him tomorrow, he demands, pecking my lips between words. I want him to smell me on your skin.
I nod. I felt loyalty before. It runs through my veins deep. It used to beat for family, for duty, for my people. But with Tristan, I would light myself on fire and revel in the burn if I knew it would please him. It's a scary feeling, but one that I embrace because he is my king and I am his queen, and together we will rule the world. He moves from beneath me and stands, grabbing his pants and stepping into them. I move also, walking over to the hook that has my nightrobe and grabbing it. Before I can put it on, he slaps it out of my hand, wrapping his arm around my waist and lifting me up as he walks us toward my bed and throws me down. I bounce when I hit the mattress and he smirks, crawling between my legs, his hands spreading them wide, tingles spreading up my body as he does. And it's only then I realize he has a pen in his hand. The ink is cool as it bleeds from the tip of the ballpoint onto my skin, and my heart spasms in my chest. What are you doing? I whisper.
Branding you, he replies.
His face is serious, his eyes focused and hands weaving magic. And I've never been more attracted to this man in my life as I am with him lying between my legs and drawing artwork on my thigh. Should we talk about tomorrow night? I ask, my stomach jumbling from anxiety at the thought of the plans we've made. His jaw tenses, his movement faltering before he resumes drawing lines on my skin.
I'd rather not. The thought of it makes me want to tie you to my bed and never let you leave.
My heart warms, knowing that he's just as nervous as I am over what we've talked about. Everything will work out. I rub my hand over the top of his hair. Tomorrow night, I'll go to your brother and convince him to take me to his quarters. His grip grows tight enough to bruise. And then you will be there, I soothe, before anything can happen, and I will have slipped laudanum into his drink. It's too risky. There is no reward if you don't take a risk, my love. I reach down, my hand touching his cheek. I trust you. I believe in you. Let me help you. He continues drawing, although he leans into my touch. I don't wish to use you this way. It's the easiest plan, Tristan. Please, I can do this. And before he can even blink, you'll gather the rebels and come find me. My heart kicks in anticipation, sick and twisted excitement bleeding through my pores. You'll take what's yours, and your people will be behind you, ridding you of any person who wishes to keep you from the crown. His eyes snap up. Our people. Emotion swells in my chest. Our people, I correct. He blows out a shaky breath and leans in, leaving a light kiss on my thigh, his fingers smoothing over it after, before he sits back, grinning at his art. I push up on my elbows and stare down at what he drew. It's a heart. Not the kind that you see kids draw, or the type that you would expect in paintings that depict love. This one is of the organ, blood dripping off its edges and vessels running through the muscle. A thick chain wraps around its center and coils beneath it, a padlock on the end. I squint my eyes and look closer, realizing there's writing on the lock. Tristan's property. I scoff, shoving at his shoulders. Romantic. He lets out a small laugh, sliding up my body and pressing a kiss to my lips, his hand gripping my face. For you, I'm barbaric. And after tomorrow, when we kill Michael and seize the castle, I'm going to fuck you while his spirit is still in the room, just so he knows you never belonged to him. His other hand skims up the inside of my thigh, resting on top of the bleeding heart. And then I'll tattoo this on your skin, so you never forget I own you as much as you own me. I lean in and press my lips to his again, passion surging through my center and exploding through my pores until it wraps around us both. It's intense, and I'm not sure if it will lift us up or burn us down. But either way, it consumes me. Chapter 49. Sarah B. My nerves are at an all-time high. Before, when I was planning on killing the king, it was personal. And while it still is, now it's mutated, tinged with devotion, as crazy as that sounds. But it's devotion that makes me slip the laudanum in the small pocket sewn into the hem of my skirt. And it's devotion that has me batting my eyelashes and whispering soft words into Michael's ear, asking if we can go somewhere private. Tristan has proven time and time again that if I fall, he will catch me. That if I break, he will hold the pieces until I'm ready to stitch them back again. So I'll do the same for him, and stand by his side, helping him claim the throne, helping him seek his vengeance. I ache with every move, like he's still perched between my thighs, taste him on my lips as though he's resting on my tongue, feel him in my veins as if he's fed me all his blood. We are intrinsic, fated, destined. Or maybe we're simply mad. But I'll gladly live insane if in the end it gives me him.
How was dinner?
Michael asks as he sits next to me on the couch in his private quarters. The fireplace crackles in front of us
and the sheepskin rug is soft beneath the pads of my feet. It's untoward for me to be here before the wedding, but Xander isn't here anymore to speak sense into the king, and Michael thinks with his cock and not with his head when it comes to females. It was just as easy as I thought it would be. I smile, lowering my lids to half-mast as I stare at him through my lashes. It was delicious. He smirks, his hand landing heavy on my thigh and rubbing over Tristan's mark.
I hope you still have room for dessert, he asks.
My stomach is in my throat as I continue, knowing that after this, there's no turning back. Actually, I'd love some more wine.
Of course.
He twists around to grab the bottle on the table to his side, and I take my chance, uncorking the laudanum and trickling it in his glass before he turns around, sweat beading on my brow and my heart slamming so fast against my ribs that I feel as though I may have a coronary. He twists back, pouring the wine into my glass until it's almost full. I watch it swirl around, splashing against the bottom of the crystal, imagining that it must be similar to how my insides look as they flip and churn, threatening to spill over with anxiety. He sets down the bottle, and I lean forward, grabbing both glasses, handing his over before taking mine. Thank you, sire. He sits back, staring at me for long moments, his eyes intense, and for the first time all evening, a trickle of unease swims through my veins. Michael has never looked at me this way before.
I tire of games, he says. Are you here to give yourself to me, Sarah?
The thought alone sends bile surging through my throat, but I grin through the nausea, knowing that Tristan will be here in less than an hour and he'll wash all the filthy feelings away. I run my fingers along my collarbone, tangling in the thin chain of my father's pendant, while my eyes flick to the wine in his hand. The one that he still hasn't taken a sip from. I just thought we could get to know each other better, I smile, scooting closer to him on the couch. We'll be married soon. Don't you think it's time? He smirks, setting down the glass, and I curse internally, frustration wrapping tight around my middle, squeezing until it feels as though I'll burst. His arm reaches out, wrapping around my waist and dragging me into him. My hands fly out to gain purchase on his chest, and I grip the fabric, my ass practically sitting in his lap. I swallow around the disgust lodging itself in my sternum.
What is it you'd like to know?
He murmurs, leaning his head down and skimming his lips across my skin. I play my part, even though, God, it feels as though doing so is the worst type of betrayal. Leaning into it, knowing I need to make it convincing. Tristan is depending on me. My hands move to his face, pulling his eyes up to meet mine. I graze my nose against his. Everything. He pulls me flush on top of him now, and my mouth sours with vomit as he grinds his hip into me, his erection digging into my center. He groans as he does it, his fingers tightening from where they're wrapped around my waist, and I throw my head back, pretending as though what he's doing is exciting. Suddenly, he stops, his eyes like two amber pits of fire, and he reaches out to the table, grabbing his glass of wine. Relief trickles through me, but then he pushes the glass against my lips, and panic spreads through my chest. A small sip should be fine, as long as he drinks the rest. I open my mouth, just a crack, but before I can stop him, he's gripping my chin and tipping the entire glass of liquid until it pours down my throat and I choke and sputter, my eyes growing wide and frantic as I attempt to spit it out. His face drops into a sneer. I move to scramble off his chest, but he grips me by the hair, yanking it until it rips from my head as he stands, dragging me until my knees scrape across the floor, my fingers digging into the skin of his wrist as I flail, trying to break free.
You stupid woman! Did you think I wouldn't know?
I don't... He throws me to the ground, and I tumble, my arm screaming in pain as it slams against the wood. I flip onto my back, pushing myself up with my hands, but I don't get far, his palms swinging down and cracking across my face until my body flies, skidding across the ground.
My hip throbs from the impact. He leans over me.
I always know.
He grabs me by the arm and pulls me to a stand, wincing from the deep ache blooming across my cheek, no doubt already swelling from where he backhanded me. I reach down, attempting to lift my skirts and grab a blade, but he grips my hand, squeezing until my bones crunch.
Don't do something you'll regret. I'd hate to punish you in front of your lover.
My heart drops. Tristan. He pulls me into his front, fingers tracing along my hairline. I turn my head away, gritting my teeth.
Would you like to go see him? He's being kept comfortable, I assure you.
You lie! I spit, not wanting to believe what I can feel in my stomach is true. He smirks.
Out of the two of us, I am not the liar here.
I try to flail from his grasp, but he grips my shoulders.
Come tie her hands, he demands.
My head grows woozy and my movements sluggish as the effects of the laudanum start to grab hold of my psyche and my breathing stalls, wondering who he's speaking to. And then my hands are wrenched behind me and cuffed in metal before I can even blink. Despair works its way through me. This is not supposed to happen. Michael smiles, releasing me before putting his arm out and dragging someone into his side. And when he does, my organs scream and curdle, withering as if they poured acid through my insides. Hello, m'lady. I clench my jaw, tears of betrayal stinging the back of my lids. Ophelia?
You know, Michael states, the best decision I've made since your arrival was telling my sweet Ophelia to keep her eyes and ears open.
He glances down at her, tipping up her chin as he presses a kiss to her lips.
You've done so well, sweetheart.
She beams at him, and my stomach folds in on itself because, of course, I should have known. Didn't I even think of them being at my side, hoping to secure favour with the king? You're a phenomenal actress, I tell her, hatred brewing deep in my gut. She grins at me, tipping her head. Thank you, m'lady. I learned from the best. I smirk, even though the opium is creating a buzzing sort of calm, making me drowsy. I fight it with everything in me, not wanting to give in to the tincture until I'm sure Tristan is safe. Although His Majesty and I, she continues, her hand rubbing at his chest as she stares up at him, we're much better at being discreet than you and the Scarred Prince. Pity you didn't pay closer attention. I huff out a laugh. Because I can't disagree. Clearly, somewhere, somehow, we went terribly wrong. Most nights, I would hide in the darkened corners of the halls, waiting and watching. Usually it was boring. Sometimes when I would follow you, I'd get a show, she giggles. I thought it was going to be so easy to get rid of you when that idiot Claudius slipped his hand up your skirts. That was you, I heard, I gasp out, my heart rate slowing as the drug sloshes through me. She nods. But then the Scarred Prince had to ruin it, stealing him away and doing God knows what to him. My chest cramps. Tristan was there. And then it was back to watching and waiting. She sighs, and Michael's hand strokes up and down her arm. But last night, I saw him storm into your room, heard you both doing treasonous things. Rage circles through me that she was there, tarnishing our precious moments. It was so easy to press my head against your door and listen to the words you spoke, she smiles. You really have yourself to thank. Stupid. I'm so stupid. Michael claps his hands together in glee, a smile stretching across his face from ear to ear.
Speaking of my brother, shall we go pay him a visit? I'm sure he's desperate to make sure you're okay.
Chapter 50 Tristan. Searing pain spreads from my shoulders and extends through my entire body, the type of which I've never felt before. My arms are tied behind my back and slung over a wood beam that's been placed in the middle of the courtyard. Occasionally a guard walks over and pulls, forcing my body to rise off the ground by mere inches. But I won't give them the satisfaction of screaming. I was woken in the rudest way, with a cloth full of chloroform and half a dozen guards. And now they've taken to strappado, a form of torture that's Edward's personal favourite. It gives him a thrill to watch the agony spread across his victims' faces as their shoulders become dislocated and their limbs slowly tear from their bodies. Part of me wonders if this is his doing, if he's finally betrayed me and is seeking his revenge for the just punishment he reaped at my hands. But he's nowhere to be found. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters except for the fear that courses through my insides at the thought of Michael having Sarah. They can kill me. They can torture me for hours, and I'll sacrifice myself gladly, so long as I know she's safe. I'm not sure how long has passed, only that the sun has set, the full moon casting an eerie glow, the chilly nighttime air sticking to my clammy, bruised-up skin, and a bonfire raging only a few feet away. It's cocky of Michael to place me here, but my brother loves to put on a good show. My head is pounding, and blood drips from cuts in my torso where I was kicked and dragged by the guards, but I have long since leaned into the pain, letting it become part of me until I'm numb. After a lifetime of being beaten black and blue, physical pain loses its edge. Surprise! My brother's voice booms, sparking an ember in the center of my gut. Brother, I force out through the dryness of my mouth and the throbbing ache in my shoulders. So nice of you to show. He laughs, a deep chuckle straight from his belly, and when I lift my head, the ember ignites into an inferno, scorching through every part of me. Sarah is with him, her hands cuffed behind her and her dress torn on the side. But she's alive. Her gaze is unfocused, and her cheek is black and blue. I have hated my brother for many things, but it isn't until right now, this moment, that pure and absolute loathing pours into my veins. Surprised? Michael grins wide. I thought you two would want to be reunited. One last time. I grit my teeth, my eyes never leaving Sarah's. Her movements are sluggish and jilted, but when her gaze locks onto mine, energy wraps around the beating organ in my chest and shocks it into a faster rhythm. I'm sure I will meet my death, and I will welcome it with open arms as soon as I make sure Sarah won't have the same fate. What good is a world without her in it? You've always been a gracious host, I snark. His grin drops, turning into a sneer. His amber gaze narrowed as he drops Sarah to the ground and walks toward me, not stopping until I can see the black specks in his eyes. What am I going to do with you? I smile. You could always kill me, maybe turn me into a trophy to place in your room. He tisks, walking to the side and grabbing something from the guard's hands before walking back over. When he arrives, I realize it's a fire poker, the same type he used to give me the scar that became my namesake. Only now the end is bright orange from sitting in the open flame. My insides tense. Maybe I'll flay the skin from your bones, Michael spits, holding up the poker and watching as it glows. Use you as a rug in my bedroom, so even in death you never forget your place. Oh, brother, I grin. We both know that even in death I'll haunt you, just like our father does. His eyes rage and his hand jabs forward, the hot brand searing into my chest, directly over the hyena tattoo, the smell of burning flesh curling into the air, as I bite down on my tongue so hard that blood floods my mouth. Tristan! Sarah cries out from where she's still sprawled on the ground, although her voice is muddled. I should have known it was you, running to gather the rest of the freaks to band behind you. Michael laughs. What did you think, that you would rule Gloria Terra? That you would kill me? His voice rises, manic in its high pitch and tone. Finally, he removes the metal from my skin, the burn so powerful it makes my eyes blur from the pain. He steps in close, the fire poker hanging at his side. Leaning in, he rests his forehead against mine. blood of my blood, you have done so much to bring shame to our name. When I rid you from this earth, the angels will sing in heaven, and our ancestors will cheer with joy. My chest pulls tight, knowing that he's won, and there's nothing to be done for it. It's over. I'm going to leave you here to think about what you've done, he whispers. And I want you to know that while my guards are prodding and poking until the rest of your skin is as scarred as your face, I'll be ripping your lying slut of a woman apart, piece by piece. When I am free of this, I say, swallowing around the scratch in my throat, I will kill you for touching her. Michael cackles, throwing his head back, his hand resting on his chest. Oh, brother, I'm not going to touch her. I'm going to fill every hole until it gapes and tears, until my seed seeps from the bleeding wounds I've created in her tight little body. I'm going to erase your existence within her and replace it with my own, right before I cut out her heart and feed it to you for dinner. He presses the poker against my other side now. And this time I do let out a scream, a guttural roar, promising violence and reeking of pain, my chest exploding until the rage floods through my body like water rushing from a broken dam. And then I'll kill you too, and we'll go on here in gloria terra, as if you never existed at all. He blows the tips of his fingers and pops them open. Poof! Just like that. My eyes roam the grass until they fall on Sarah's form. She's unconscious now, and my heart falters. Sarah, I rasp, although my entire body burns from the word. Sarah, I yell louder, desperate for her to move, for her to show me she still breathes. But she doesn't. She lies there instead. Maybe if you pray hard enough, brother, they'll reunite you two in the afterlife. Michael smiles and then passes the poker off to a guard on his right. Stick him every hour until he begs for death.
Chapter 51. Sarah B.
This is my first time in the dungeons, and they're exactly as I expected them to be. Dark and dreary and smelling of must. My head pounds from the remnants of the laudanum, and I clank my chained-up wrists against the dank stone wall, knowing they're much too strong for me to break. I have no clue how long it's been. I'm not sure if Tristan is still alive, although, as insane as it sounds, I think I'd know if he was no longer in the land of the living. Despite everything, there's still a small ember of hope flickering in my chest, and that keeps me holding on. All is not lost until it is lost. A door slams open, and small cracks of light filter through the iron-barred window of the concrete door. My stomach cramps. I see tendrils of fear worming through my psyche, as I wonder if it's the king coming to claim retribution for my sins against him. Or maybe it's a guard wanting to take advantage of a chained-up girl with no way to escape. Turns out, it's neither. The cell door swings open, and Marisol, wide-eyed and wild-haired, rushes in, her hand covering her mouth as a muffled sob breaks free. She runs over and scans me from head to toe. Marisol, I croak, my voice shaky and strained. M'lady, she whispers. There's a key in her hand, and relief pours through me until I shake. Quiet, we have little time. She looks behind her as she unlocks my chains, blood rushing through my limbs as they drop to the ground. I wince as the feeling comes back into my extremities, and I heave myself forward onto my knees, gritting my teeth through the ache of my muscles as I push myself to a stand. How? I ask, rubbing my wrists to help the blood flow. Marisol smiles. Together we rule, divided we fall. Shock freezes me in place. You're a rebel? But you spoke of them so cruelly, I don't... Once upon a time, I was young and foolish and desperately in love. She pushes me forward, out of the cell,
lowering her voice to a whisper as she leads us to the back corner of the dungeons until we're facing what looks like a solid stone wall. He was a penniless man with no title to his name. She shakes her head, but I loved him more than anything. She turns toward me then, gripping my shoulders tight. You asked Ophelia about her family, but you never cared to ask of mine. If you had, you would have learned that my father is a social climber, so... Tears spring to her eyes. It should be no surprise he threatened to kill my child in order to keep glory to our name. My heart clamps down, somersaulting with pain for what she's saying. But someone came to my aid and took my precious baby, hiding him deep in the shadows, along with the man that I loved. He fed them, clothed them, and promised safety as long as I helped usher in a new dawn. My breathing stutters, hope flaring to life in my chest. Tristan. The scarred prince, she nods. The rebel king. He saved my family. It was imperative no one knew of our connection. So yes, I said despicable things, but only because my son's life depends on us succeeding. I could not trust you, and therefore I could not speak. I open my mouth, my brain trying to catch up and re-slot the pieces of the puzzle into fresh places. She shakes her head. There is no time for this, milady. You must go. Edward is waiting for you in the Black Forest. He will take you to the Shadowed Lands, and you can lead the rebels here to save our king. He's alive? Tears burst from my eyes, and relief drums through my veins until my legs threaten to collapse. Tristan's alive? He is. She nods, her hand pressing against the stone until a secret passage opens wide. Now go, before they catch us both. Edward's not alone. Shayna stands next to him, holding my boots, trousers, and black cloak, my daggers lying on top. Emotion swells like a balloon at the sight of her, and I fall into her arms, the clothes dropping into a heap at her feet.
Shh, milady, everything will be okay.
Shayna, I can't. I don't... My body trembles as I hold her against me. She strokes my hair, rocking us back and forth, tears streaming down her face as fully as they pour down mine.
Don't worry, Sarah. She pulls my face up to hers. We will save him. Why didn't you tell me? I whisper. You could have trusted me.
She smiles.
I could say the same, best friend.
I smirk and move my gaze to Edward, who bows.
Milady.
Stepping in close, I grab his hands.
Tristan trusts you. Can I?
His jaw ticks, eyes blazing as he bows and kisses the back of my palm.
I swear it.
Nodding, I step back, turning to grab the clothes on the ground, grateful that I can get out of this soiled